Well, as we come to our time of prayer today, or our time of hearing the scriptures, Jesus used the metaphor of a shepherd several times in his ministry. We will hear a song using the most famous instance from Psalm 23 later in our worship. In this passage from the Gospel of John, the sheep know that the shepherd really cares about them and offers what they need, good, abundant, green pastures to eat in. They recognize the shepherd who takes care of them as they hear his voice.
John chapter 10, 1 through 10. I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate, but climbs over the wall, is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away because they don't know the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have life. Indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest.
There are so many ways to live life to the fullest right now, or as another version of the scripture calls it, living life abundantly. Being together, either physically or virtually, is one important way for us in this moment. Perhaps we can keep some of our connection habits we've exercised well beyond our time of isolation. This next scripture is an extended version of our theme scripture for our Easter season series and shows us the value the early Christians, some of whom had to gather in secret and isolation, were supporting one another abundantly.
Acts 2:42-47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day, they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved.
In these two scriptures, we see the desire of God for us to be taken care of, for us to live to the fullest, and for us to support one another in having abundant life and community, food, and gladness. The thief in this first passage could be anything that robs us of those things. Sometimes the sacrifices we have endured because of our attempts to slow this virus can feel as if we've been robbed of our well-being. But we can also turn that around and see that these sacrifices are how we share goodwill and well-being with one another. Our hearts overflow with the grace and guidance we know from the shepherd, and we want that goodness for everyone. Glad and generous hearts overflow with love in so many ways. Well, as we begin the sermon, let me say real briefly that I realize that all of us heard the news from the governor here in Indiana about plans to begin to reopen things here in our state, and we're thinking through what that means for us here as a church, and we're going to work on that, a plan on how we can faithfully come back together and look for that. Hopefully this week you might hear a little more. The one thing I will say is that we will do that very thoughtfully and carefully and not in a rushed way. So that's the one word of reassurance I can give for you, and we want to do that right. And so look for more news this week, hopefully. Well, I used to do something that I think was really silly. And I have no problem just now saying that it was silly. It was a dumb thing to do. I used to get, back in the days when we would get lots of catalogs in the mail, these days it seems like we get fewer catalogs, but back 15, 20 years ago, I used to get a couple every week, and things for like biking supplies or books or clothes or home supplies or whatever it was. And I would get that catalog in the mail, and if I had a few free minutes to look through it, I would ask myself, I would say, if money was no object at all, if I didn't have to think about if I had enough money, if I was Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, you know, somebody with a lot of money, I would ask myself, what in that catalog would I purchase for myself? And so with that thought in mind, I would flip through that catalog and I'd say, okay, that $2,000 bicycle, yes, I'd get that, or the big riding mower, yes, I'd get that, or the very expensive suit, I'd get that, or the fancy chrome stove, yes, I'd get that, or the nice car, that would be what I would drive. And I would just kind of go through that and say, okay, I'd get that, that, and that, and that. And now I look back on the fact that I did that and I'd say, that was silly. That was a waste of mental energy. It was dumb to waste my thoughts dreaming on things like that, because I think as I did that, there was a misunderstanding of abundance. We have that picture in our brains of what abundance is. That video you heard a little earlier from N.T. Wright, he says, you know, usually that's kind of what we think of at first. We think of having lots of money, lots of things. But I don't think that's abundance. Now, Jesus describes himself in what we heard earlier as a good shepherd. And he says, you know, I look out for my sheep. My sheep know me. And he says, I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. When Jesus talks about abundance, do you think he's just talking about having a lot of things? I'm guessing not. Now, I'm guessing, too, that probably none of us have experience shepherding. I have zero experience. When I was in Scotland on the Isle of Iona, they have sheep that graze all over the island. And as I would take hikes around the island, I would try to befriend some of the sheep. And like I said, I've got no experience with sheep, and the sheep didn't know me. And I'd get maybe 10 yards away from a sheep, and it would run away from me. And I imagine if I was with them all of the time, they might be a little more comfortable. If I was their shepherd, maybe they'd let me get a little closer. Because the shepherd's job is to watch over and protect and provide and take care of the sheep. And although you've probably never had an experience as a shepherd, I bet you've seen or been an adult with a group of kids. You probably, maybe if you've gone to a museum or a zoo or something like that, you see a group of kids on a field trip, and then there's a teacher, an adult or two with a group of the kids. And what are the adults doing? They're not just taking in the museum or the zoo. They're also watching over their flock of young people. They're getting them all moved in one direction. They're making sure none of them get into trouble. They're making sure they don't cross the street at the right time. They're getting them down to the cafeteria for lunch, making sure everyone has something to eat. They're making sure the bully doesn't pick on the defenseless. They're getting them all on the bus and safe and home when it's over. That's shepherding. That's watching over the flock. That's providing and defending the sheep. The most famous depiction of that is the 23rd Psalm. And as we said earlier, you're going to hear that psalm later on in our worship through music. We usually think of that psalm, the 23rd Psalm, only in terms of death, because we often hear it at funerals. But if you listen to it, it's about so much more than death. It's about abundant living. The psalm says, and you know it, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There's still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in right paths. Your rod and staff comfort me in the darkest valley. He prepares a table before me. I mean, this is the shepherd doing his job. This is the teacher leading the kids through the city. That's what the Lord is to me, is what the psalm is saying. This is the guide leading the group through the wilderness. That's what God is for me. The shepherd is leading the flock, watching over, providing, protecting. And the psalm is saying, that's what God does for me. And in doing so, God brings me to abundance. If you put a battery into something, you have to notice one thing. Well, you have to notice that you have the right size battery, but then you also have to check, as you're putting it in, the positive and the negative side. You've got to make sure it's turned the right way. Now, this psalm, the 23rd Psalm, starts off with, in a similar way, with a positive and a negative. The positive is, the Lord is my shepherd. But then it follows it up with a negative statement. Since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's kind of like saying, maybe you said this yesterday, since the sky is blue and the day is beautiful, I will not be sad. Since the air conditioner is on, I will not be hot. Since the meal is good, I will not be hungry. You see how this works, a positive and then a negative. And it's saying, well, here is the Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now that's heavy. You know, I wonder if we'd miss that. In all the years that I've read and listened and preached on that psalm, I wonder if we've missed that really heavy statement it's saying, since God is my shepherd, I do not want. I will not want. Literally, it's I will not lack anything. Why? Because if the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want for anything. Since the Lord is my shepherd, the desires for something out there that are not a part of my life, that those desires of flipping through that catalog, I do not want. I do not desire those things. Since the Lord is my shepherd, it's saying, I'm already in green pastures. I'm already beside still waters. My soul is restored. I'm on the right path. I already have abundance. And even though things are hard sometimes, and I know this is a hard time for all of us in many different ways, even though things are hard, it doesn't say God takes away our problems at all, but it says even though things are hard, I'm okay in my heart. Even when I'm in the darkest valley, it says, the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid of any evil. Even when I'm in the presence of my enemies, a table is prepared before me, a table where my cup overflows. Since the Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy follow me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I already have abundance. You see how this works, don't you? If the positive statement is true, then the negative statement is true as well. Since God is our shepherd, the wantings are over. We have abundance. The chasing after the winds are over. The idea that we think we have to have something else or something more, that idea is over. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything. I don't need anything beyond what God is to me already. You see, since God is our shepherd, since Jesus is the good shepherd, we are not defined by how much money we have or don't have, or the clothes that we wear, or the kind of car that we drive, or how successful we are, or how healthy or unhealthy we are, the neighborhood we live in. It. Since the Lord is our shepherd, we know we have abundant life wherever we are. And that doesn't, and regardless of what gets us down the road, or what brand of clothes we wear, or what's on our back, or how well our body is doing at the moment, or whatever our zip code is, since the Lord is our shepherd, the worries of health and living and dying, they don't overwhelm us. Because we know God is bringing us to still waters, to restoring our soul, to an overwhelming, overflowing table. And that's true whether you're in the prime of your life, or if you're taking communion on a hospice bed. That's true whether we're out and about and things are normal or we're all sheltered under quarantine. We live unto the Lord, we die unto the Lord, and even if we die, in Christ we live, so we do not want. Since the Lord is our shepherd, we're not worried about what anyone says about us, or if someone speaks words of harm, or if someone doesn't think well of us. God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and so we fear no evil. Because God walks with us, and God loves us, and as God has promised never to leave us, so we don't want anything at all. We have abundance already. Since the Lord is our shepherd, we do not want. Because we believe what Jesus said, Jesus tells us, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I have come so that you may have life and have abundant life. And that abundant life is God's gift. It's God's gift to all of us. It's nothing that we've earned by racking up enough points on God's ledger sheet. It's not that we're good enough and somehow we got it. It's not anything of our doing, our creation. It's God's doing because the Lord is our shepherd. There's nothing that can take that from us, sisters and brothers. There's nothing in life that can separate us from it. Nothing that can change that at all. And when you know that, when that's your life, your faith, your song, when that's what makes your heart beat, there's no wanting. There's no lacking. There's no need for anything else. The Lord is our shepherd, sisters and brothers. We shall not want. We already have God's abundant life. Amen.